Morning to John chapter 21. We'll read a few verses there in just a moment. But first of all, I'd like to give you a commercial here. And this commercial has to do with our Bible class. Every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock we meet, and we have been studying the existence of God and the attributes of God. And today we were looking at that amazing subject, the love of God. It's one of those subjects that is impossible for a preacher with the vocabulary at his mind to be able to adequately portray the love of God that we've been singing this morning about the love of God. And so we encourage you to come along and join with us on our Bible class every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And we're going to read now from John chapter 21, because now we're moving on from the love of God himself to our reciprocal love to him. He loves us. We need to love him. John chapter 21, we'll read at verse number 15. The Lord has met with his disciples at Galilee, and they caught some fish, and they had a meal together. And then it says in verse 15, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, the son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, the son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdedst thyself, and walkedst whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken thus, he said unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeth him, saith to the Lord, to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's just bow for a moment's prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before thee on this beautiful Lord's Day morning, and we thank thee, O God, for the subject matter we have been thinking about in the Bible class and in the morning service, and then around the table, the subject of the amazing, infinite love of the Lord our God. O God, we know on earth that love needs some needs of attraction, but our Father, we thank thee that thou dost love us, even though, Lord, there's nothing about us to recommend us unto thy mercy or to thy love. But we thank thee, our Father, we have been loved with an everlasting love, and we will be led by grace that love to know. We ask, O Lord, now that thou would close us in with thyself, that thou would deal with every attack of the wicked one to steal away the good seed of thy word. O God, we pray that thou would draw us near to thee. O God, we know what the world says, absence makes the heart grow fonder, but that does not apply in this case. Our Father, we pray that thou would draw us close to thee, and therefore may our love increase more and more. Be with us now, we pray, and bless us, and refresh us, and give liberty in the preaching of thy word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just this past week, we have been remembering again the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the keystone and the capstone of all Christian doctrine. Without the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, we can close the doors and go home because the whole thing is pointless. But Jesus did rise from the grave, and this is a fascinating study when you think how that trillions upon trillions of dead cells making up the body of the Lord Jesus, that they should come alive by supernatural power and even by the power of the Lord himself. It's the only occasion in history where the dead has been raised by its own power, and that is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now, equally fascinating is the study of the post-resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus. When he came in different places, he came, for example, in the upper room twice. He appeared there, once when Thomas was there and once when Thomas was absent. He appeared on the road to Emmaus to those two brethren walking by the way, and he appeared in Galilee and appeared in several other places. And this one that we have read today in John chapter 21, that's the final one where he appears in Galilee. And this one is recorded, of course, by the Apostle John. Now, in Galilee, the Lord Jesus was there, and they were fishing. They caught some fish, and they had a wonderful time of fellowship, and the Lord fed them. He said, come and dine. And then we're told that after they dined, then the Lord, he turned his attention to Peter. Now, remember, Peter had said that he would die for the Lord, and then the Lord told him before the cock crows that you'll deny me thrice. And this great disciple three times denied knowing the Lord Jesus, denied being a disciple of his. So now the Lord comes at the Sea of Galilee, and he comes and focuses on the person of Peter. And I wonder exactly what Peter felt as the Lord turned his attention away from the other disciples and focused on him. The whole time he's thinking that I have betrayed the Lord. What is he going to say to me? But he came with three little words. In our life, three little words, I love you. But his was slightly different. His was to Peter, lovest thou me? He brought this question to him, and he came to ask him about his love. I want to look at that question because it's a very pertinent question. It applies not just to Peter, but applies to all of us. And his question to us today comes, lovest thou me? Now, Christianity is based on love. We were learning this morning in the Bible class about the fact that God is love. It's not that God is loving, which he is. It is that God is the personification of love. And you look at that love of God and you marvel how that he loves so little as we are, the sinners condemned and unclean. Now, love is something that is known to us in marriage, because you have the love of wife and husband and vice versa. And I always am amazed at how that you see young people, they see somebody of the opposite sex and they get interested in them, and then it progresses on to something more serious. And I well remember when I was just a young fellow, about 16, going up to a local school to bring my young sister home. She was about 7. And as I was going up this hill pushing my bicycle, there were a lot of young students coming down, a whole bunch of them, in fact. And I saw one noticeable for the hair, first of all. And I said, well, that is worth a second look. And so we had a second look. And when this book comes out of the history of the church, you can read about the details of what happened there. But it's amazing how that a young man and a young woman, they come together and they love one another. And as time goes on, that love gets deeper and deeper. You know, how do you develop love? Says, as I mentioned already, absence makes the heart grow fonder. That may work in the human sense, but it doesn't work with regards to the love of God. How does love grow deeper? You are in each other's company. You live together. You walk together. You talk together. And your lives are together. And the more you are together, the more love it is. You see, that when you're young, love is... people have to say, "I love you." And they say it to me very, very simply and not with very much meaning. But when you're young, you have to talk a lot to express your love. But when you get older, you can sit side by side without saying a word. And the love that flows from husband to wife and wife to husband, it's not something that can be easily measured. And so we have this wonderful love that you get in the relationship between a husband and wife. But what about the love between Almighty God? And the Lord comes today to each one of us individually. And he says, "Lovest thou me?" Now this question is not unnecessary, even for people who have the greatest of religious professions. You take Peter. Peter was a mighty man, and he was one of the chosen disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was to him, this leading apostle, to him that Jesus said, "Lovest thou me?" Now, it is possible as a Christian to have all the forms and to do all things according to the laws. But the question comes, is there love in the heart? You see, in marriage, sometimes you can have marriages that are merely an existence, where the husband and wife, they agree to live together mostly because of the children and so on. That's it. But in the marriage, is it just an existence or is it a loving relationship? And being a Christian, is it just a ritual that we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, or do we actually love him? Do we love him with a heart that is sent towards him? You see, without heart, the brain, for example, without heart, orthodoxy in Christianity becomes just a gaunt skeleton. If you don't have love in your heart, you see, the Bible tells us that this is the way the people of the world know that we are Christians, because we love one another. And so is our love for the Lord, is it seen? Because without heart, our profession is just a gaunt skeleton of orthodoxy, or a cage without a bird. Because our faith is not in a thing, it's not in a code of ethics, it is in a person, it's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So people who have the greatest religious profession, and that may be you, and may be me, but the Lord still asks us, "Lovest thou me?" It's also pertinent for those who have the greatest office in the church. Peter had a high office because he was an apostle, and he was on the inner circle of the apostolic band, because along with John and James, that they went to certain places, the Transfiguration and so on, that others did not go to. Peter could say, "I'm an apostle." But the Lord said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" You see, there was another disciple. There was another apostle. And his name was Judas. And he certainly did not love the Lord. He had the office, but he didn't love the Lord. And so it is necessary for those who have the greatest office in the church to answer the question from the Lord, "Lovest thou me?" So that applies to ministers. It applies to elders. It applies to deacons. It applies to Sunday school teachers and day school teachers. Those who are working for God. That question is necessary. You can do all the work, but the bottom line, the Lord says, "Lovest thou me?" Then, also it's necessary for those who have the greatest Christian privileges. Peter and James and John, they had privileges not given to the other disciple band, because they were chosen to go to watch the Transfiguration. They were in Gethsemane for the time the Lord prayed there, and they were there also at the time when Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. And so that was important to him. He was a man who had great Christian privileges. And you get Christians today who talk about the great privileges they have and the remarkable experiences they've had and so on. But the question comes, lovest thou me? Do we really love the Lord our God with all our heart? And then it's a necessary question also for those who have the greatest warmth of zeal. Now, Peter, he was full of zeal. You read his story, his life story. He's always coming in and butting in and saying things, even to the extent that the Lord had to actually interrupt him at the Mount of Transfiguration. He was saying, let's make three tabernacles here. And the Lord speaking, and the Lord interrupted him, and the voice from heaven came, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. So this man had a great warmth of zeal. And when it came to Jesus walking in the water, he said, the Lord bid me, none of the rest of them did that, but he did. Lord bid me come unto thee, and he came and he walked on the water. And he was the one too, when they arrested the Lord Jesus Christ, he drew the sword and cut the ear of the high priest's servant. And so he's a man filled with zeal, zeal for God. And yet it was to that man that the question came, lovest thou me? And we can, as individuals, be earnest in the work of the church. We can be Sunday school teachers. We can be working in the Christian school. We can be good personal workers. We can be all kinds of things. We can be especially encouragers to others. But the question still comes, lovest thou me? And then it's a necessary question also for those who have the greatest self-denial. The Apostle Peter, he was able to say, Lord, we have left all and followed thee. And so he was showing his faithfulness to the Lord. And Peter, he worked for the Lord. He suffered for the Lord. For 3 years he was in the school of the Lord, taught by the Lord himself. So here's a man who denied himself to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. C.H. Spurgeon says, to know is good, but to love is better. And so the question comes that we may be able to say, well, Lord, we have left all. We've done this, we've done that, we've done the other thing to serve thee and to take a stand for thee. The Lord's question, lovest thou me? And then also that it's an important question for those who take the greatest stand. Peter took a great stand for God, and he stood up when others would not stand, and he earnestly contended for the faith, as Jude tells us in his book. So he was one who took a firm stand. But it was to that one that the Lord said, lovest thou me? And we could say today, well, Lord, we are firm Protestants, and that's good. A firm Protestant, but the question comes, Lord, lovest thou me? We could be earnest advocates for the truth of God and stand up and be counted. The Lord says, lovest thou me? And then we could also be counted as a good soldier. We have fought a good fight, Lord. We're fighting for thy truth and for thy gospel. But the Lord says, lovest thou me? And we could say, well, we take a great separate stand. I stand apart from the world. Good. But the Lord is still saying, lovest thou me? And so today that question comes to every one of us. And my friend, it is a very personal question, because there's one thought. I want you to get this. Jesus did not say to him, do you believe the doctrines of the Word of God? That's very important, but he didn't say that. He didn't come along and say, Peter, do you obey my precepts and my commandments? That's very important, but he didn't say that. He didn't ask about the commandments or the precepts. He just simply said, lovest thou me? That's the important thing. Lovest thou me? And notice that the Lord used the old unconverted name of Peter. Simon. He didn't call him Peter, he called him Simon. Lovest thou me? Simon, you got to remember that you're a sinner only saved by the grace of God. And you are what you are by the grace of the Lord. And the Lord therefore went right to the pulse of Peter's soul when he said to him, "Lovest thou me?" He didn't say, "Peter, have you repented of the sin when you denied me?" He didn't say that. He could have said that, but he didn't say that. He said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" He didn't say, "Peter, do you have faith that I am able to forgive you for the sin that you committed?" Didn't say that. He said, "Lovest thou me?" And it was from the Lord himself, and it was directed personally, not to the other disciples so much, but directed personally to the apostle Peter. And you know, it's amazing. It's amazing that you think that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be interested in our feeble faith and our feeble love towards him. But he is. And so he came to Peter, denying Peter, and he said, "Lovest thou me?" Now we must live and love the Lord Jesus Christ in return. In the book of Proverbs, the question comes there about, and the statement comes, and the command comes, "Give me thine heart." The Lord wants our heart of love beating for the Savior and beating for the glory of his great name. You see, without love, and we have the ordinance of the Lord's table this morning, without love for the Lord Jesus, this here is a meaningless ritual. There is the baptism ordinance as well. Without love for the Lord Jesus, baptism becomes only a mere bath. So the Lord is getting to the heart of the matter, because the heart is that from whence comes love. And so he speaks to us. Now I want you to notice something. He spoke to Peter and he spoke to him three times. Now I want you to notice how it's not apparent in the English, but it is in the Greek. He said to him, "Simon, son of Jonas, verse 15, lovest thou me more than these?" Perhaps referring to the boats and the fish and so on. And he said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And then he said it again in verse 16, "Lovest thou me?" And Peter says, "That I love thee." And then verse 17, "Lovest thou me?" And Peter was grieved then, but he says, "Thou knowest I love thee." Now, that word love, that's the important thing. Because twice the Lord Jesus used the word agape. Agape, that's the highest form of reverential love. That's the one that applies to the love of God. The very highest form of love. And so Jesus says to Peter, "Lovest thou me?" That high reverential love. And then Peter answers, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." But he didn't use the word agape. He used another word, phileo, and you'll recognize that in Philadelphia, love of the brethren. Philo has to do with love. And so Peter answered, "Yea, Lord, I love thee," phileo. And phileo is a word that means the more emotional love of a friend. So Peter saw himself in this situation. "I cannot rise to use the word agape, which deals with the highest reverential love. I can't rise to that, Lord. But I gave you my phileo, my lesser love. That's the best I can do." So Peter, the poor Peter, could go no higher. But then the amazing thing is that Jesus condescended down to the position of Peter, because he said there, "Lovest thou me?" That's agape. But then in the third occasion, Jesus said, "Lovest thou me?" And he used the lesser verb, phileo. So what's he doing? He's saying, "Peter, I know you cannot get to the height, the height of the love that I'm referring to, the agape love. But Peter, I accept the love that you have, even though it's imperfect, I accept it. Now, what a wonderful blessing that is, that we can come to the Lord with our weak love, and as long as it's real, the Lord accepts it. And don't forget that the love of God has to do with our obedience to Him, because in John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So what a gracious, loving God we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the key. Obedience to the commands of the Lord. No use saying, my Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine, and then go out and disobey the commands of the Lord. We read his word, we obey his commands, and the Lord, he blesses us. The final part is, it's a very practical question. Because this question that the Lord asked Peter, lovest thou me, it has to do with future service. Peter had denied the Lord three times, and three times he failed the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord could just have set him aside and said, you can do no more because you've denied me. Go back to your fishing and away you go. But the Lord didn't do that. The Lord is going to recommission Peter and send him forth, so he would become the great disciple, the great apostle that we know. And he was the one, as the Lord indicated here in this chapter, who sealed his testimony with his blood, crucified. And as far as we know from church history, that Peter did not want to die like a Savior, but he asked to be crucified upside down. And so Peter here is going to be recommissioned by the Lord. And three times the Lord asked him to lovest thou me? And three times he answered, yea, Lord, I love thee. And then the Lord told him to feed my lambs and feed my sheep and so on. So he sent him forth as a servant of the Lord. Now we learn something there too, because in the first occasion, where he says in verse 15, feed my lambs. And on the third occasion, in verse number 17, he says, feed my sheep. And then in verse 16, he says, feed my sheep. Now again, you can't see it in the English, but the Greek shows us something that is very important, something we do not need to miss. And that is that in the first and the third occasions, the Lord used the word bosco. And bosco is the word to feed the flock. That was his task, as you read in Acts chapter 20, to feed the flock. So the Lord says to him, feed the lambs and feed the sheep. And it was to feed them. And that tells us that the primary task of preachers and teachers is to feed the flock with the word of God. William Owen was a great Baptist preacher in Northern Ireland with a distinctive delivery. And he used to say, the Lord wants us to feed the flock and not to, what was the word? Not to flog them. That's why I just forgot the word there. Feed the flock, not to flog them. And yet there are preachers who are mighty good at flogging the flock. Now sometimes you have to give them, like the sheepdog, a little nip in the heel to get them to go in the right way. But the Lord, he wants us, our primary business is to feed the flock. First and last, the minister and the teacher's job is to feed the people so that they will grow in grace and be edified and built up in their most holy faith. But the middle occasion, he used a different word when he said in verse 16, feed my sheep. It was another word. It's a word poimano, and that means to tend like a shepherd. And that includes the work with the sheep, not feeding them. They've been fed. But this is a word poimano, is the shepherd looking after them. picking up in his arms the lambs and so on. It means also encouraging them and helping them in every time of need. And I was just telling the Bible class this morning that my wife's brother, he has a flock of sheep and they're bringing forth all kinds of lambs. And Billy loves his lambs. And he will put them on his shoulder and take pictures of them because he loves them. And the Lord Jesus, he is the one who puts us on his shoulder and his breast, and he loves us with an everlasting love. So it is to tend like a shepherd. So first and last, our job is to feed the flock. But then we have to have a work of encouragement, encourage the believers. There are some Christians who are mighty discouragers. Remember, in the Old Testament, Moses, he said to the children of Reuben and Gad, "Why break ye the heart of the people?" And there are some Christians who are discouraging. And I appeal to the young people, the older people, that they will encourage the young people to stand for God. Not to try and flog them and beat them into submission, but to encourage them. We have a ministry of encouragement to do. Also assistance. That's another thing, to assist people and help them and to comfort them and to discipline them. There's all kinds of things. So here you have a sandwich. Preach the word, feed the people, in between do the pastoral work, and down below the end, first and last, you preach and you teach the word of the living God. And my friend, the love of God is the vital element. The love of Christ is the vital element. As I told you already from Proverbs, he says, "My son, give me thine heart." Now I told you that the Lord didn't ask Peter about whether he had repented or whether he had faith or believed the doctrines or obeyed the precepts and so on. If the Lord has your heart, he's got all the rest. He's got the work of your hands. He's got the work of your feet. He's got the work of your mouth. He's got the work of your ears. He's got everything if he has the heart. And that's what the Lord was getting at to Peter here. "Peter, lovest thou me?" Getting to the heart of the matter, right to the heart. And as Paul exhorted the Corinthians, the love of Christ constraineth us. Now, how do we grow in this love? I told you already, the well-known human statement is, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Maybe. And certainly there's a longing when somebody has to go to war or something, there's a longing for them to come back and to return again. But actually when you're away from somebody, that you get away from them. But in our case, we need to spend time in the company of the Lord and spend time just ourselves with him. There's some people here watching that movie that has to do with a little old lady who had what she called a war room, a little room in her house where she went in by herself, met with the Lord and prayed and studied and stuck sticky notes on the wall about things she had to pray for and so on. And some of our people have copied that and have little war rooms just for the grin themselves. We need to do that. Take time to meet with the Lord. Now, you don't need to do it like me. I get up at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I have a lovely hour just reading and meditating on the Word of God. Just there, no telephone to ring, no things to interrupt, just me and the Lord. And friend, that is good because it strengthens you. He speaks to you and he blesses you. And so meditation and prayer is a blessed time. And when you do that, you get closer to the Lord and you find your heart filling up with love for him. But the trouble is, in our busy society, we're so busy that we haven't time. You say, "Well, I can't afford an hour in the middle of the night." Know what I do? I pray, "Lord, when I go back to bed, now give me compressed sleep so that hour that I've lost will not be lost, that I'll be strengthened for the next day." And so, friends, let's take time to answer in our own hearts this question, lovest thou me? And then be able to say with Peter, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest. And you'll find your day will be blessed. And especially as we come to the table this morning, to remember the death may this not just be a lifeless rite to us, but a living experience that God is here and that to bless us with the Spirit's quickening power. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the love that thou dost show towards thy people. And Lord, we are not worthy of the least of thy mercies, and yet how greatly thou hast blessed us. The number of times, Lord, thou hast answered prayer for us. The number of times, Lord, thou hast given us guidance in how to go forward. We thank thee, Lord, that thy word is true. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And grant, O God, that each of our people here may enjoy the fellowship and the meditation and the prayer with thee. Just as thou didst come apart on the mountain and pray with thy Father, O God, help us, we pray, to come apart and to rest a while in the presence of the Lord our God. Bless us, Lord, now as we come to the table. Grant, O God, that we will have a real sense of the presence and the power of the Lord. O God, we need a reviving from thee. And we thank thee, our Father, it comes as a result of thy grace and of thy love. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.